Welcome everyone, this is all about Windows Phone Insight Podcast 209, recording this on Tuesday the 28th of February 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield and Rafe Blanford is walking the halls at Mobile World Congress. Well, actually he's probably tucked up in his hotel or at some wild party by now, but there we are. We have a stand-in. We have Jason Snowden. Hi, Jason.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on again, Steve.
Yeah, just remind people a catch-up of what you use as your main device.
So still using a Lumia 950, main and sole device, really. I have access to other phones in the family, iPhone, Samsung, but I still prefer my Lumia.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, well, you've also had some ideas about how to possibly improve it or how Microsoft could tweak their much-beloved, as you found out in the comments, their much-beloved start screen vertical panorama. And I get where you're coming from because I, too, have used, for example, Windows 8 on the desktop and now Windows 10 on the desktop, whereby I presume if you add enough tiles to Windows 10 on these days on your laptop, it will actually start pushing off the right-hand side and then you can scroll horizontally. Is that right on the desktop?
I think it is, yeah. And although perhaps it'd be worth just giving a sort of background to thinking, it's an idea that I'd had for a while. And I should say, first of all, it was definitely not a sort of, ooh, this is something I don't like about Windows going up, doing the vertical scrolling. I want it to go horizontal. It wasn't really an improvement. What it was more was an observation that it is a key difference. And when I moved from Symbian, as was, which is obviously very similar to Android and to some extent iOS with the home screens and app drawer type layout, I found it just slightly jarring and I slightly sort of just my head had to try and get around. Even though things were the same and they just moved in a different way, you scrolled to the side to get to your app list and it was a big long list and you scrolled up and down to get to home screen type shortcuts and stuff, it just was a bit of a jar. And I just thought to myself, well, what could they do on Windows and what should they do given they're obviously, you know, Windows is obviously on the mobile on a, you know, virtually insignificant market share. They may be looking to do things differently with Windows 10 on ARM coming. What would be a good strategy to try and ease the adoption, given that we've had, you know, in the past, you know, a few years ago, the big Nokia Lumia push. And I thought to myself, well, if it had home screens, and you wouldn't need to change the live tile layout, you wouldn't have to sort of go to little bubbly widgets, we'd just keep it the same, still have the back and search and Windows keys at the bottom. But if you made it scroll to the left, and maybe if you scrolled up and you got that app list, you could just rearrange things, which, as I said in the article, UI-wise looks easy, maybe technically it could probably be more difficult, but it might make it just slightly less jarring for people. And I don't think that this is something that would make it, you know, that this would have, if they'd done this when Nokia came in, that would have been it, would have gone off into the double-digit market share. But I do think it's kind of, it works quite relatively significantly in terms of making people feel a bit unusual when they're trying to use it. So it's kind of like a one-way thing in that changing it to sideways scrolling wouldn't increase the market share markedly, but I do think it is a significant barrier having it going up and down, if that makes sense. And the one last thing I was going to say is on the comments, I was really pleased to see those comments, and in some ways not surprising. And I you know, I'm sure if somebody else had put a similar sort of change, I'd be one of those people, I don't like that. I do like the vertical scrolling. I want it like that. And that's absolutely right. You know, this All About Windows Phone, along with lots of the rest of the Windows community, it's full of enthusiasts who really enjoy and like the platform. And that's right. What I was trying to think about was all the other 99% or more of smartphone users who, you know, to be fair, aren't running to the platform. And certainly even when Nokia were there pushing it with marketing and et cetera, again, it just didn't get the adoption. It's just something we could do to make it slightly more similar without losing some of the great look and feel that is Windows as we know it today.
Yeah, and of course, you may well get your wish because, as we know, we've done several stories on this really on podcast, Windows 10 on ARM, i.e. Windows 10 Mobile and Windows 10 at the moment, both compiled for different chipsets, but essentially the same OS. Now, Windows 10 for Intel has all the extra baggage of desktop Windows and the different modules and codecs and device drivers, but essentially the whole core center of the OS is there. And we know that those two OSs are going to come together rather more when desktops and laptops and tablets, etc., they all move onto ARM, which will happen at some point in the future. Certainly would be a major option that would give battery savings and so forth. And so when we get to that point, Jason, I contend that let's say you had a Surface phone, Surface phablet, whatever you want to call it, or some third, even a third party device in, say, 2018, and it will be running Windows 10, just no need for a suffix, it's just Windows 10. It happens to, it's compiled for ARM, as by then many desktops and laptops will be as well. But that phablet, let's say it's a 6-inch device, and it's running this Windows 10. Microsoft has already been talking about integrating and merging the shells as well, the user interfaces. At the moment, we've got the Start shell for mobile, and we've got the Explorer shell for desktop, which goes all the way back to, you know, Windows XP time. But they're looking to have a composite shell that works on both and adapts accordingly to screen size and screen resolution. So you can see, really, if they're starting with the idea that it's got to work on a laptop or a desktop or a large tablet, then they're going to have to do something in terms of landscape presentation and side scrolling. So for all criticism that sprung up in the comments of the article, in actual fact, you could well be just predicting the future just perhaps a couple of years out.
Well, maybe. And as I say, I thought it was great to see those comments. I didn't see any of take any of the negative. It was good to see that enthusiasm. Yeah. It's absolutely right. Like you say, what I'm trying to think is well, what do Microsoft need to do to make this easier for people to adopt? And as you say, if they're moving to a single core, they're really moving from just having Windows 10 Mobile pretty much part of Windows 10 as it is now. But as you said, there are significantly, but moving definitely down to one single core with different shells that adapt to different screen sizes, this would seem like an almost logical step. And as I say, a lot of the comments which were great to see about saying how they like the difference, they like the unique feel of Windows, and I do too. But what I don't want is to see a platform that I enjoy and I love using just wither away and die. I want to see it grow, and I want to sort of see, well, How could that be made sure that it's going to not only survive but thrive in a kind of a future world? If you know, there's lots of aspects of Windows on desktop that if you were right when you see, look at Chrome or you look at Firefox, there are things that they have adopted. An X in the top right screen. Nobody's going to put an X in the top left screen. The bottom. They're going to use that top right because it's just a UI convention. And I almost think with the level of adoption of iOS and Android, there's almost a convention now as to how phones are going to look. And I think that's almost coming across more often with the number of cheaper Android handsets that are just putting on stock Android. They're not bothering with the skin because everybody's just used to it now. I know there's some cost issues there that's probably driving that as well, but we are used to this single sort of UI experience. And I'm just thinking of a way that they could maybe help the adoption. But don't get me wrong, just like all those commenters, I love my Start screen just as it is.
Just going back to my thought about a Surface phone. Crystal ball gazing here on the podcast with likely enthusiasts like yourself. And just if you think about a Surface phone or a futuristic Windows space phone, if it really is going to be genre defining and a breakthrough and an innovation and so forth, a new paradigm, all the things Microsoft has been saying, then my guess all along has been that it's going to be landscape UI predominantly. So if you picture something like the old, you know, Nokia E7 or Nokia Communicator, something that exists, is home screen by default, exists in landscape mode, and you treat it as a mini tablet. And then when you want to make a phone call, you go into the phone app, and the phone app might well run in portrait. Heck, most of the interface will rotate to portrait if you rotate the device. But it should be equally at home, if not more at home, in a landscape environment in the future. That's where I'm coming from here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And some of the comments were about how, the, you know, as I do, that it'd be good if the actual interface even now would scroll when you actually flip it to the side, so that it was actually appearing landscape, if the home screen would do that like a lot of the other apps. And you're right, other apps, if you're in a landscape mode, other apps could come in and still be portrait. I mean, a classic example of that are calculator apps. Calculator apps look like calculators. They are portrait. So you can imagine a phone interface coming up with a phone keyboard and perhaps some text messaging apps that would also appear in a landscape, in a portrait on a landscape screen. I can well see that. And certainly, you know, as much as I've come to Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8 before via the Nokia route, I still remember the day I saw the original, one of the early Windows Mobile, and it was on a very small screen. It had the little start button, which was probably a bit of a mistake, but I just thought it was amazing to see a computer software, an OS, on a mobile device. And I think that's where they're obviously heading. And they obviously just need to try and think about what's the best way to present that. not only to give the best experience, but to fit in with the paradigms that are already established.
Yeah, just looking at my 950 at the moment, in portrait mode, the start screen. If I was to rotate this, what would I want to see happen? My guess is that they'd have to do some kind of arbitrary split down the middle of below, say, 5 or 6 levels of tiles deep. You'd then split that, and anything below that would appear on the right when it's rotated, if that makes sense. So basically, you slice the start screen up into slices, and then you present them slice by slice. But if, like me, you kind of craft your start screen into a nice little grid, and I notice yours has got various columns of smaller icons and larger tile sizes in the middle, that might actually get messed up something chronic if they were to do some kind of auto reconfiguration for landscape.
Yeah, and I mean, in fairness, one of the good things about the vertical scrolling, it does drive me to try. I try and get to sort of 1 or 2 sizes of start screen.
Yeah.
But you're right, as it is now, it would become quite difficult. You can imagine some quite horrible looking. It wouldn't be intuitive. Whereas if you have already split the screen into different tiles, i.e., different home screens, as you see on Android, for example, when you flip it round, all those tiles just flip around to fit the same space. So you've already chunked up the actual start screen. So in terms of getting that interface to work in that landscape to portrait to landscape mode is arguably easier.
Yeah. And by the way, to explain the rustles there, that's probably Jason flinging his 950 around demonstrably. So if you could just restrain yourself slightly, I think the listeners will get a few less clicks on the line.
I shall turn gesticulation down a notch.
Thank you. I'm just thinking about where Microsoft might go in terms of upgrading existing hardware. I mean, I think I've asked Anthony Fear, a previous guest on this podcast, the same thing. I'd like to get your take on it. Assuming they do go to, we've got Redstone 3 coming up, of course, and who knows, there might be a Redstone 4, Redstone 5, one of which may well end up being a version of Windows that works on ARM chips on tablet and desktop. So we might go to the kind of the next generation of Windows 10 on mobile, if you like. Do you think the 950 and 950 XL that many of our listeners have got, do you think they will be fully upgradable to the newer versions of Redstone? At what point do you think that might get chopped off?
I think that's an interesting question. I think it's two. There's almost two parts to that thing. One part is, what would you expect to happen to something like the 950? I don't think it could do it. I'll be honest, I'm not technically knowledgeable or savvy enough to be absolutely certain of that, but it seems to me anything that's 2 to 3 years out, it starts to creak. And if you've made quite a massive shift, full Windows 10, doesn't seem likely. The other question that springs to mind, though, is then what happens to Windows 10 mobile when we've got Windows 10 on ARM, especially if it's Windows 10 on ARM with, to use the Americanism, cellular capability. If Windows 10 on ARM has everything that Windows 10 mobile does, but requires a faster chipset and more expensive hardware, basically, what do they do with Windows 10 mobile? Do they keep it running as something for cheaper handsets? In which case, you would continue to get upgrades on your Lumia 950, but it would be basically seen as a sort of lower level because it's obviously an older spec device. Or would they look to, to end the platform and say, right, Windows 10 and ARM is what we're all in on, and maybe even look to trying to get that onto some of the sort of lower grade chipsets? I don't know, but I can't see. I wouldn't be personally upset at that. I mean, I've had my Lumia 950 now, it's over a year. If it lasts to December and I'm still happy using it and it's not too slow and laggy with whatever sort of version of Windows 10 is out there, I suppose I'd be happy, I'd be ready for a move. I think certainly in the UK we're used to 2-year contracts, and some of us enthusiasts, particularly like myself, I'd prefer to change every year if I can. If there's a good, a good device that I want, I probably would. So 2-3 years down the line, if I have to change and it's to something better, something quicker, something, perhaps sort of form factor changing, a folding device I've seen, which looks quite interesting. I'd be happy with that. But obviously I recognise it, for other people, they may be in a different position.
Yeah, of course, Microsoft will be using current hardware as the test bed for the new software. And that's always been the case. So, for example, we had the Lumia 1520 was always being the one shown off when they were showing off Windows 10 Mobile, wasn't it, on the various events. So we absolutely knew it would run the OS fine. And certainly demonstrating Redstone 3, they're going to be using 950 XLs and Elite X3s and so forth. So I'm pretty 99% confident that Redstone 3 will be a full upgrade, production upgrade for those devices. And I even suspect that Redstone 4, which I guess will be sometime in mid-2018, that it will actually run on the 950 XL, because they'll be using, again, some of those devices. because of the lack of new Lumias, Microsoft, they'll still be using some of this older hardware as the physical test beds to run these new versions of Windows on. So yes, at some point there will be a break if you want the full Windows 10 experience as on the desktop, and you know, Windows 10 on ARM, whatever they end up calling it, the Snowden edition or something, I don't know, in 2018. That may be require new hardware, but until then, certainly on the insiders track, and many people listening to this are already insiders, they're going to be upgrading for at least another year, so I don't think you need to worry about your beloved 950 coming a cropper.
Well, that is exciting, and certainly I'd lend them my name for a small fee.
Yeah. Do you use any of the Imozo backs, by the way? 950 has got some particularly good ones.
I'm just too dang clumsy. So I've got the, I forget the make of it now, but it's a case that you showed that's very ruggedized, and it's got a nice little flip-out stand
for
Netflix. So I've got one of those. I have been slightly salivating over that wooden one, though, and that cat looks really nice. And it might use that as a sort of special one for when I know I'm inside with cushions everywhere.
Yeah. I had a 950 Imozo case, and I gave it away to Joe, the guy who developed the AWP Universal app, as a thank you. But the next one I get in with wood, I'll give to you as a thank you for being on the podcast.
That's exceptionally kind of you. I couldn't put any of my efforts against what he's done with that website. It's absolutely fantastic, and the app is brilliant.
Yeah. Going to another of our guests, Anthony Fear, who's been reviewing the Alcatel Idle 4S with Windows, or as it's now going to be known in Europe, the Alcatel Idle 4S Pro. Did you see his review, which he's done based on the Canadian version or North American version, up on the site the other day?
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've been looking at it. It looks like a really, in a lot of ways, a really nice handset, really nice bit of hardware. And again, it sort of makes me slightly salivate. Oh, I could get a new phone. But I suppose I'm kind of stuck in that, well, has it got the best camera? Has it got some of the sort of all the some of the features like glance screen and all these other little bits and pieces that I'm not sure it does have? So I absolutely think it looks like a great piece of kit. I can't remember from the review, I'll be honest, sorry, whether there were any particular criticisms of how it was running. It's just a shame it's taken so long, but at least they've sorted the name out, I suppose.
Yeah, it ran pretty well. I think Anthony's really pleased that it's his main phone. As you say, the lack of glance screen is probably the biggest downside for him. The fact that some of the extras apps, like on the Elite X3, for example, the Equalizer code, which for some reason Microsoft doesn't seem capable of recompiling just from the Nokia Equalizer from the Lumias. Why can't they just change the name and change a couple of text fields and recompile the blessed thing and put it in and put it in the standard, you know, build of Windows 10 Mobile? But we should be told, but the X3 and here the Idle 4S, neither of them have the Equalizer for improving your audio output for music, for example, or indeed for the speaker. The camera is nowhere near as good. Of course, the Idle 4S camera is an average smartphone camera, but the Lumia 950, as you know, is superlative. So there really is no comparison there. On the other hand, it's got much better battery life. It's got the fingerprint reader, which 950 hasn't got, of course. Faster processor, more storage, much better looking and build quality. If you're into metal and glass, then of course this does feel premium, or it will feel premium when it comes out in Europe. And better, much better, and stereo loudspeakers, which is the main call for me. You may be aware that from my different podcast that stereo speakers on a phone and good stereo speakers are a bit of a must for me, and they really enhance when you're watching YouTube or Netflix or whatever, the movie watching, the video watching experience. So quite a few pros, really, to balance a handful of cons. I think I'm really looking forward to this one, although it's quite expensive. I think the best part of £500 in the UK, which I think is a bit over the top, but then people like you and me, enthusiasts, we've been so starved for the last year or so. Presumably we've all put enough in our piggy banks that we can splash out and buy it after all.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, reminding me that I think for me, another speaker for you is the big thing that makes you want to definitely, again, put that Equalizer in. That could surely only make it even better, or make them even better. But for me, it's the fingerprint scanner, the fingerprint reader. That is something definitely missed on the 950. Particularly because the Windows Hello Iris scanner, it's okay, but it is rather hit and miss. I mean, it's great when it works, but it's often a pain and it doesn't end you down to doing the four-digit PIN, which obviously isn't as good or as secure. So yeah, the fingerprint reader looks like the big thing there, and obviously the premium feeling like you've got something that's a bit more up-to-date. But yeah, that price tag, I suppose it's difficult. I mean, if anything, you know, other manufacturers, Google, Pixel, are perhaps pushing the boat out the other way. It comes back to probably to a decision. And I think it was Richard Yates who was saying for years that Microsoft should undercut, get in there low, get lots of volume. Obviously, that's a different world now, but it does make you wonder at the pricing of these handsets. Are they looking at demand, supply, or are they just looking at, well, that's the market price, that says it's a premium device, it's £500? I don't know.
Yeah, did you see that over at MWC, staying topical here, that there was the return of Nokia to the smartphone world? And I bring this in just on the mention of price and value there. The Nokia 6, which is the sort of not quite a flagship, but a higher end, higher mid-range device from the new Nokia as run by HMD Global. The Nokia 6 got stereo speakers and a fairly low-end chipset, but at the same time, pretty good performance and full metal build, and most of the core specs that you and I want, including a reasonably decent camera, and that's coming in at about £200, just over £200, which is under half the price of this Alcatel Idol 4S Pro. So I fully agree with you that we're in a world really where you can get a really good smartphone now for £200 in the UK, £200, £250. You don't need to play flagship money. So when the handset comes in at that £500 mark or more, there's got to be a really, really good reason or meeting some kind of pent-up demand. And I'm a tiny bit sceptical in this case.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, yeah, I did see that, and I'd noted the prices. That is, you know, that is very cheap. And they're also trying to do something there to just get their way into the market. So there may be a bit of loss there that perhaps they can't sustain. I don't know, but certainly generally across the board, for the, you know, the rise of the smartphone, the reason that so many people have got them is because they are in that £200 to £300 bracket. Yeah. So to get people to pay more than that as your average person on the street, as you say, it would have to have significant differences, and there probably aren't that many people who are willing to pay that, unless it's got a certain fruit on the back, and it's, you know, it's more of a branding issue than anything else. So it's certainly a very different market than it was when Nokia last left it.
Yeah. By the way, there's no Nokia 8 as yet, but that was being rumoured as a kind of a high-end Nokia with running Android from this new outfit. And of course, then we'd have it'd be abbreviated to N8, which of course brings back all sorts of happy memories for both of us, I suspect, from the past.
Yes, I do remember my N8. Oh, I still wish I could have that in the drawer. That was a lovely device. Really great camera. Shamelessly different to how we are now. I mean, it was virtually no processing, I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong, on the actual output from the camera.
Yeah.
Whereas now we live in a world where processing is absolutely everything. But yes, I do remember that. I don't think if there is an Acura 8, it'll be following that line at all, I don't think. But shame.
A few other news stories from the site, and we'll put links to these in the show notes at allaboutwindowsphone.com. Of course, Fast Ring Builds, a new insider build out 15042, basically bug fixes, Jason. But given that I was actually directly affected by four or five of the main bugs that were fixed, my 950 XL has gone from horribly buggy to really quite usable again. What about you?
Oh, that's good. I'm too much of a scaredy cat. I've moved from production to insider preview in the last 6 months, and that's about as far as I go. And I do get a few more freezes on the start on the trying to open the device than I used to. But it's good to see they're getting bug fixes. It's good to see that they've got it locked down. I know from a previous piece, some people are a bit concerned there aren't as many features. I think there's going to be some great things there. Even just the glance screen going off at night will be nice for me. But so it's good that they're actually getting to bug fixes, which again shows that they're still in this strange world where you know, we are a much smaller user base than we were. There's still lots and lots of work going on in Windows 10 Mobile and in the apps as well.
Yeah, well, again, as I've mentioned numerous times, there really has to be, because it's basically the same code. The one core, my famous diagram from about a month ago, showed just how much of the code is common between mobile and desktop. And if they're bug fixing one, then they're automatically bug fixing the other, and then they can just release it without too much extra work. So, and as other people have pointed out, and we mentioned on a previous podcast, Microsoft has to get mobile at least downright and bug free and all the comms stuff working, because they're going to need that when they come back to mobile at some point and say, right, that's it, and all singing, all dancing, business communications, phablet. Oh, by the way, we're still bug fixing the LTE or bug fixing the Bluetooth, when they've got all this massive months and months and years of testbed data and insider feedback to build on. So they're doing the right thing by keeping it current, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and it's good to see. And you know, it's funny when I think of a lot of that stuff, like the Bluetooth, like the connectivity. A lot of that is actually key to their strategy. I mean, getting Continuum to work properly, getting a device to throw onto other screens, that's going to be very important.
Yeah, yeah. I did do kind of a fanboy post called entitled "In a Sea of 27 Glass Slabs, 10 Unique Selling Points of the Old Lumia 950 XL," and by and also by extension the 950, of course, in your case.
Yes.
And the core point here was that I was watching all the MWC coverage, and I'm having to summarize it all for my phone show and run through all the different handsets, and they're seeing a real trend now towards or glass front and back, or if failing that, certainly a sealed metal back. Very, very few phones now go with replaceable batteries. And it's not just the battery. It's the fact that on the 950 XL, you can change the back if it gets damaged. So if you just drop it on concrete, you really smash up the external plastic. And no worries, you clip it off and you pop a new one on. Maybe a nice Mozo wooden one, Jason. If you fancy a new battery, you can just buy a new battery. If you want a spare battery, you get a spare battery. You've got the high amplitude microphones. I've been really disappointed by the Pixel and the Nexus 6P. And even the iPhone to a degree, and certainly all the Samsungs, the S7, S7 Edge, when you take them in a live music situation, even down your local pub where they've got a rock band trio or something, you try and record it, do some video, and of course the bass and the drums completely overpower the loudspeaker, the microphones. But on the 950, 950 XL, you just, as with the 930 and the 1020 before it, you just shoot the video. The music comes out absolutely perfectly, no distortion whatsoever. And that's, again, another, I think, unique selling point. Obviously, the camera is still better on the 950, 950 XL. The physical shutter button, triple LED flash. The headphone jack is now a USB. I can't believe it, really, but USB. But so many phones now are going down that Apple route of relying on digital audio output via USB type C or via lightning port. And so, you know, that's again is a unique selling point, that the Lumia's a headphone jack is not going to go out of fashion anytime soon. So there's quite a few bits there. Hopefully some of those rang a bell with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the microphones are one thing that I definitely have used many a time and amazed people, and sent, you know, we've gone to gigs with people, some quite loud bands, as you may know from other podcasts. And they've been amazing. I've sent them a video and said, well, that's just crazy. How can you get that on your phone? What's more amazing is a lot of that started way back in maybe 2012, 2013, I'm thinking. And all the sort of progress that you've seen on the camera front, where there has been a lot of competition, admittedly through different routes. Samsung, the processing, obviously iPhone has got some hardware innovation. Some of these things haven't been picked up. So I just hope that Microsoft, along with my article, of course, is looking at your list, much more importantly, and saying, which of these, we've got to keep as many of these as we can. Because obviously, while they are focusing on software, ultimately there are a lot of hardware innovations and differentiators that actually obviously still there that will make a difference to people.
Yeah, I do worry. My worry, Jason, is that quite a few of these items, including the software items like Glance Screen and, as we found out, the software equalizer, they're actually Nokia creations, Nokia innovations, and Nokia specified. And that if Microsoft goes with a different hardware design team, they may not talk to the appropriate ex-engineers now. Perhaps sadly no longer working for the company, they may not look at the appropriate documentation, they may not contact the appropriate suppliers, and they will end up with generic components, and the Lumia 950 and 950 XL will be left as the kind of the great last of the great Nokia specified designs. Because despite the Microsoft on the front of your Lumia, Jason, I think it's fair to say that you could probably put Nokia there and it would fit in right with the previous 2 or 3 years worth of hardware.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree certainly on the internals. I think perhaps the design and construction slightly more plasticky than some of the previous Nokias.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. And I share that fear. I just hope, perhaps looking to my own profession, there's a cost accountant in there going, hang on a minute, how much did you pay for Nokia? Why aren't you exploiting all the assets? And here's a list of them. And even perhaps when they look to partners like HP and they want to try and encourage them to take on the platform, they can help get loan or patent or however they need to do it, some of these features such as the high amplitude microphones that will enable those partners then to use them as a differentiator and encourage them, as I say, to make more Windows 10 phones. But I do share your fear, Steve, and particularly, if anything, I think probably the widest for most will be the camera, because that is obviously that was Nokia's, you know, greatest achievement. That was their sort of biggest USP, that they always had the best camera, and to this day that's what Microsoft do hang on to. So let's hope they do keep it on.
have you ever considered getting a backup 950 in case yours packed up? And because given that they don't sell them anymore, have you, that occurred to you?
I have.
Oh.
I've got two other batteries, and I've even strangely, against one of our USP on the headphones, I've recently moved to wireless headphones, partly because I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm in the kitchen. I'll be pulling on the headphone jack, and I know a previous Lumia had to go back to have the headphone jack replaced, and I'm sure that, you know, there's still support there, and I'm not denigrating any of the way that Microsoft have gone about, because I know they've outsourced that, and I'm sure that would be there. It just, the fear of not having my phone for like 2 or 3 weeks, I think, should I get a backup? And I suppose I'm perhaps just waiting for the, I don't know, for the right one to come along, to maybe onto the PS forum, and maybe I'll look at that. But yeah, I have considered it, as strange as it may seem.
Yeah, it's certainly if anybody listening to this has particularly likes their 650, 950 or 950 XL and sees one in one of the a clearance forum or on a especially good price, I mean, something like £200, £250 for a 950 or under £300 for a 950 XL, certainly under £100 for a 650, I would just say snap it up, because it, you may not get another chance. Microsoft stopped making these devices sometime last autumn, physically stopped making them. So it's just a matter of the stock going through the channels. And in many countries now, you can't buy these brand new from the Microsoft themselves for love nor money. So it's really down to just checking Amazon sellers and eBay sellers and your local equivalent. So yeah, because I've got a 950 and a 950 XL, and I can never quite decide which I like best. I think, well, one is the other's backup, and I'm kind of sorted, but I would encourage other people to buy backups.
I think listening to you on other podcasts, I think it's probably a seasonal thing. So when you've got a big coat in the winter, you get your XL,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Just some of the shorts are on. Maybe the 950.
Yeah, well, the 950 overall has more bang per buck because it fits most of the same functions, almost all the same functions, in a smaller form factor. And as you say, is more pocketable out in the summer, should we ever get one again. and the 950 itself was the one that it feels more of a holistically designed device. The 950 XL still kind of feels like it's too thin and too large, and it feels more like a mini tablet. And it's crazy to say that because they're only about a centimeter apart. But in the hand, the 950 feels like a phone. The 950 XL feels like a tablet. That's just how I can phrase it.
Yeah, I remember when I first bought my first 950, I did get an XL at the same time. And I very carefully got it out of the box without damaging any seals and was holding it for several days. I come back and go, I'm not really sure. I got to one point, I wasn't sure if my hands were the same size. But yeah, I went with it. Went with the 950 mainly for clumsiness value, and that I just know that I drop them all the time, as I said earlier.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've run up to our half an hour marks. It's been great chatting to you, Jason. Where can people find you online?
Well, I'm not too massively online, but I am on Facebook, I am on Twitter, and always very happy to talk about any sort of phone geekery and actually science geekery as well. And be it Windows or other stuff, like I say, I keep my eye out on other areas other than Microsoft areas, though. That is my home.
Okay, and thank you very much. We'll have Rafe Blanford hopefully back next week with a report back from Mobile World Congress. Not that there were any major new launches other than that Alcatel Idol coming to Europe, of course, but maybe he'll have had hands-on with that as well. So in the meantime, I'll let Jason say goodbye quickly.
Goodbye, and thank you again for having me on.
And I'll say goodbye as well. You'll catch us next week on the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. Bye for now.